You're listening to Fakeologist's Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. Each day, we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio.
All right, so it is the 9th of March, 2018. John LeBond coming to you live from Brisbane, Australia. And this is Who Are the Fakeologists? This is an impromptu stream that was not planned more than 20 minutes ago. And I've got with me a very special guest to tell us all about fakeologists.com, none other than Crazy Rollo. Rollo, am I coming through live and clear? I knew he'd do this to me. I knew that Rollo would do this to me. So let's have a look. Rollo, can you hear me? He's playing tricks on me, guys. He's still upset. What happened was, let me tell you what happened. A couple of weeks ago, maybe 1 week ago, actually, I was at fakeologists.com, and we had a very special guest, Dave Matt? J.
John LeBond?
Can you hear us?
Yes.
Yeah, I was just telling the live listeners that about a week ago, you and I chatted with Crazy Dave J, and I told you before the call that Dave J likes to be called Crazy Dave J. And then, of course, we got to the live call, and you called him Crazy Dave J, and he didn't appreciate it.
No, but look, again, just between me and you, John, and our listeners, and your listeners over there at johnlebond.com, I'll say it again. AJ literally says Tony Abbott and Tony Blair are the same person. To me, that's crazy.
He does say that. So maybe later on today we'll discuss Crazy Dave J. But here's what I'm hoping to discuss with you right now, Rollo, is fakeologist.com. Of course, we're streaming live at the John LeBond YouTube channel and through fakeologist.com on their Discord server and through their live broadcasting system. So this is going out live all across the world. Not just to YouTube, but to Fakeologist as well. So why don't you give us a quick introduction there, Crazy Rollo, to who you are and how you first got into what we call Fakeology.
All right, then. Yeah, for sure. It would be 2012 or 2013, and it was when the host of this site, Fakeologist.com, his name's Tim Aberrato, or Fakeologist, whatever you want to call him, had an interview with a lovely fella. His name's Simon Shack. Now, Simon Shack runs a website called Clues Forum, cluesforum.info, and he also runs septemberclues.info. Now, the interview that Ab had went for about 4 hours. He had two, actually, interviews with Simon Shack for 4 hours, where, obviously, anyone who knows anything about fakeology and anyone who knows anything about John LeBond and maybe some newbies that haven't listened to either don't know that Simon Shack made a film, EO7. It's got the best audio soundtrack. It's got the best, if you ask me, deconstruction of what happened with the nose in, nose out when a plane goes, you know, a CGI plane goes through buildings. Way better than Loose Change. Loose Change that was promoted by Alex Jones, that fruitcake. Now, this is a sensible human being, and it was that interview, those 2 4-hour interviews that Tim Aberrato, or Fakeologist, I'll call him Ab, because that's what I'm used to calling him. That's what got me into it, especially. I've always been interested in radio, but it was those 2 conversations that got me hooked. And because I'm for freedom of speech, and as you well know, that Simon Shack lost his YouTube, so we can go there. We can talk about the YouTube purge if you want, because I'm really keen to talk about that, because I'm really keen for freedom of speech, and this YouTube purge is just a disgrace, in my opinion. But then, anyway, I'm digressing. That's how I got into it from the very get-go.
Yeah, let's talk about that YouTube purge in just a moment, and I'd also like to get your opinion on what I call the hoax hierarchy, Crazy Rollo, where I basically say, here's a bunch of hoaxes, here's how I would rank them in terms of importance. I'd love to get your opinion on that later in the show. Before we do that, though, how long now has it been since you first found Fakeologist? How many years have you been doing this? And looking back, how would you reflect on the journey so far?
Brilliant. absolutely brilliant. I've met so many intelligent people, way more intelligent than me. But we've all got our own areas of expertise, would you say? I think you're a study in philosophy, Gustav Le Bon, and you read lots of books. I'm not very well read. I like radio, so I like talking about things, and I really like talking freedom of speech. And freedom of speech is something that I think at the moment is under fire because of this. Because people will self-censor. If you can't just put YouTube videos up saying what you want, you're going to have to find another platform like BitChute or there's a Vimeo. I don't know if that's much good, but you probably know better than me. There's a guy called Dave Cullen. If you want to go and have a look at him, he's Computing Forever. That guy's big into freedom of speech. He's an Irish guy, a really good guy. If you can get an interview with him, I'd listen to that. If you want to just talk basic philosophy, I'm not your man, but you might try and hit up Stefan Molyneux. And if you've got an interview with that guy, I reckon you and Stefan going toe-to-toe, I'd love to listen to that.
Well, Stefan's an interesting one, isn't he? Because a few years ago, he was basically an anarchist, and then he became a libertarian. And what is he now, an alt-right? I mean, what is he? What's his story these days?
Well, I tell you what he isn't. He doesn't, as far as, he shadow bans me. That means I can't write anything on his YouTube. I mean, they'll come up for me, but I know if I log in with Internet Explorer and don't log in to, and I know my comments aren't there. So that's a little sneaky. I've always found the shadow banning thing with YouTube sneaky as hell.
Can I be honest? I do shadow ban some people. Can I be perfectly honest?
Sure.
There's this one guy.
All I expect. Hey, John Levon, if you're not perfectly honest, then, you know, that hits your credibility. So you've got to be
perfectly honest. I should be perfectly honest. That's exactly what I'm going to do. There is one or two people who I do shadow ban in the comments of my videos. There's a guy called Chris Vall or Chris Vall or something. And I used to just let anyone say whatever they wanted. I never used to delete any comments. And then I noticed that that wasn't really helping. You know, people never really... If you treat people well when they're treating you poorly, they don't suddenly start treating you well. And there was one guy who was just trolling my comments. And I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start deleting his comments, but not block him from the channel. And he'll never know that he's wasting his time leaving all of these comments. So to this day, he still leaves comments on my videos. And he must think that people can see his smart-ass remarks, but literally nobody can other than myself and him. And the way I see it, if he wastes, say, 3 or 4 minutes leaving a comment, if he leaves 100 of these stupid comments per year, say for argument's sake, that's 5 hours of his time that he's not going to be wasting on other people's channels bothering them. So that's where I see the utility of it. And again, I gave this guy plenty of chances, but I didn't just start doing it for no reason. And he's been a dick. He's been nothing but a dick the whole time. So the way I see it, I think it's fair enough. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think we're all capable of being dicks from time to time. You're not averse to being called a dick by John Adams at Christmas time. He called you a dick. So we've all been called dicks by various different people. I don't troll Stefan Molyneux. I just throw the odd comment in because he always says the truth about, and then he'll get you insert the psyop there, and he'll always just goes with the mainstream media. He never questions. So what's the point of Stefan Molyneux? You might as well just watch CNN or Fox.
You do watch CNN.
You don't get anything extra from the man.
But let's be honest here. You do still watch CNN and Fox, don't you?
A little bit occasionally when, when this Parkland thing happened a couple of weeks back. I turned the television on just to see what they were up to. And then they had this David Hogg all over the place. And I could smell a rat there. I could smell a rat with that guy. And especially when I saw him being coached. And then that looked really dodgy. And then you find out that his mum works for CNN and his dad's ex-FBI. And he's got showing no emotions, that David Hogg. And that's what started the YouTube purge. Because, people were spotting this. And they were making videos. Questioning this David Hogg and why is he saying drills are going on? Why is that woman saying that this Nicholas Cruz guy had full battle fatigue stuff and was shooting, and then when he's arrested, he's got, you know, jeans and a T-shirt on? None of it makes sense. It just looks, it smells bad. And you know they do these things. I know that's probably a baby hoax, and but why not?
That doesn't mean that.
Yeah, but when it affects when people get their YouTube, I mean that week Simon Shack lost his YouTube that he's had since 2007. You know, because of community guidelines, and everybody else lost theirs because of this bullshit bullying thing that YouTube's doing. So. YouTube.
Well, I haven't lost
mine. I will not use YouTube anymore.
I haven't lost mine yet, but I could at any minute in theory. So
of course.
I'm just enjoying having access to live streams, and who knows, this could be the last ever live stream on this channel, Rollo, in theory. So let's make the most of it, shall we? So you did mention the baby hoaxes. I've got it up on the screen right now, my hoax hierarchy, and I can see in the live comments many people, they love the hoax hierarchy. They can't get enough of the hoax hierarchy. Don't worry, guys. We're going to talk about that today. Rollo, what's your opinion on this hoax hierarchy? Please be completely honest.
I will be completely honest, yep.
Yep. Now, you can't see it in front of you because we're on the Fakeologist live stream. You're on your computer. You're not in front of the...
So you'll have to describe it.
You're familiar with the idea.
I'm familiar with it.
Hoax hierarchy. So what do you think about this idea that some hoaxes are more significant in nature, in impact, in insignificance, than other hoaxes? Not all hoaxes are the same, Rollo. What do you think about this idea?
I'm more interested. Yes, I agree. I'm more interested in the media hoaxes. That's what Fakeologist is all about. It's about exposing media fakery one psyop at a time. They're the ones that I'm more interested in, and I'm sure of it. I've spoken to you long enough. You're interested in the higher up sort of hoaxes with the dinosaur hoaxes and whatever's higher up. I can't remember what's up on your next level up. NASA, I think. What else?
Well, I've just sent you the picture in the live stream section at the Discord server at Fakeologist. Once again, we are streaming live through fakeologist.com as we speak. And so
thanks,
what we can do is, once you've got that image up on your screen, let's go through this one by one, shall we? Let's start with the toddler hoaxes.
Go underneath. Start with baby, why not?
All right, let's start with the baby hoaxes. So can you remember where you were, or roughly what time it was, what year, when you first learned about the fact that the plane disappearances are fake, or the mass shootings are fake, or Sandy Hook is fake, or the Boston bombings? Where were you, or roughly how long ago was it when you first found out about the baby hoaxes?
All right. Okay, so now the Boston bombing was just before Christmas, that was a couple of years ago, so maybe 2016. The plane disappearances, we're talking about MH17 and MH370.
They're the ones.
So, and what about the... would you include that one with the Jeff C got us all in his knickers in a twist with that one with the plane hit the bridge in China and ended up in that shitty river?
Oh yeah, the hold on, what was that one? TransAsia. That's a controversial one. Is that one a hoax? That's very controversial. That one.
Sure. Is that one a hoax? It looked dodgy as shit, but it certainly got Jeff C's because Simon Shack pointed out that car, or the taxi, the two taxis, and how we had such beautiful footage of it, by the way. I guess all taxis over in China must have cameras on the front of their cars, but when the plane rips in one front of one of them, it just keeps driving on as if nothing's happened, right up the road. So, it does look like it could be CGI, but anyway, I thought it was the, what was it, the Nice truck attack. Would you call that a baby hoax, the Nice one with the truck?
That's a baby hoax. Yeah, because that's the same eyes as terrorist narrative. They're all baby hoaxes to me.
Yeah, that one. That's when Jeff C went fucking crazy eight bonkers on our mate PK and Russian Vids down in Melbourne there. Yeah. Although I think Russian Vids might be in America. I don't know where he is, but PK is certainly in Melbourne. And then they had all their falling out. Not that you don't call it a community, do you?
Well, there is no
not a community.
There is no truth movement. Let's be honest. Let's be straight up.
So that one there. So we got the plane mass shootings. Yeah, I mean, Sandy Hook's in, you've got the San Bernardino. They all look dodgy as hell. The one in Las Vegas, I mean, come on, the guy's at the 32nd floor and he's managed to get all that ammo up, punches the windows out and manages to kill 50 people. So that was just at the midway or late to mid last year. What else you got here? The ISIS World Tour. So, yeah, you got all... what's the name of that? What's the name of that site? It's called Sight, isn't it? That woman looks like she's got a terrible suntan, and she seems to be promoting this whole ISIS thing. You remember that website?
Yeah, I remember her. I forget her name. Was it...
Yeah. Kathy or she seems like a Jewish, or... you know, a Jewish type person that... you know how the Jews always try and make themselves out to be the you know, the victimized.
Oh, we're no, going I don't know that. That. What are you talking
well,
about?
I
would never say that. Such a thing. I would never.
I would.
Boy.
Especially when we get higher up on this pyramid, we've got something up there that... Anyway, we'll stick down the bottom here. The Boston bombings, oh, my God, that was... I mean, what is... Even PK and went through that at length. He calls it the Boston firecracker. I mean... Just look at the video. It's just two puffs of smoke, and then the guy with the fake legs. What was his name? Jeff Bauman, pushed around by, what was his name?
Carlos Arredondo.
Arredondo.
Carlos Arredondo. This was a video that I saw of, what was her name? McGee? Betsy McGee? I'm not trying to promote all of her work, but one video she made was very funny, where she showed Carlos Arredondo trying to explain in English how he put a tourniquet over a victim's leg, right? And he couldn't say tourniquet. He couldn't actually say the word. And she said, "That's, you know, that's fair enough. He speaks Spanish, not English. What's the word for tourniquet in Spanish?" It's the same word. So Carlos Arredondo was struggling to find the word that he should have known anyhow. And it was very amusing. I guess I'm not really conveying that very well. But, yeah, the whole Carlos Arredondo story was rather amusing. Yeah, Jeff Bowman. He lost both legs, and he was still alive and conscious and sitting upright, what, 7-8 minutes later? Very bizarre stuff. Very bizarre stuff. Very, very bizarre stuff. Crazy Rollo, what say you? We've lost him, have we? Rollo's gone. Crazy Rollo's gone. Probably off to grab himself another drink, if I know my Crazy Rollo. So what we'll do is we'll carry on with the rest of this hoax hierarchy in his absence, since we've already started. Why stop now? So you've got your plane disappearances, like your MH370, and what was the other one? MH17. And yeah, if you look into those ones, even just the numbers involved, fascinating. The number of 7s and 77s and 17s. Could all be a coincidence, of course. Could just be a coincidence. Your mass shootings, the beheadings. We had that serial, didn't we, 3 years ago, was it, where each week a guy would be getting beheaded by ISIS, and he would call out the next person who was going to be getting beheaded. It was just like a reality TV show. You know, tune in next week to see, you know, whoever's next in line to get beheaded. And one of the guys who was supposedly beheaded was a guy called John Cantlie. John Cantlie. C-A-N-T-L-I-E. John Cantlie. Are you kidding me? So that was rather amusing. And then, so those are all your baby hoaxes, but there's really not much point going too much further, because this is meant to be about fakeologists, and we seem to have lost our resident fakeologist. He's gone. Crazy Rollo has disappeared. Very disappointing. What I'll do while we're waiting for him to come back, I'll go through the live comments. We've got about 20 people watching live right now. Let's see what the live comments have to say. We've got the Buddha in the house, and the Buddha says that aliens has to be one of the daddy hoaxes. Well, maybe aliens might be one of the hoaxes, but then again, maybe not. I mean, how many people really believe in aliens? It's only been the last maybe generation or so where that has become a common belief. It was a fringe belief. Even just 20 years ago, it was still a fringe belief to believe in aliens, but such is the power of science fiction and so-called science in schools, which is, of course, no different to science fiction. One is just passed off as real and one is passed off as fantasy, but between them, they have an amazing effect on the minds of the masses. So now the younger people believe in aliens, but it really wasn't that long ago that aliens were not a very well-believed thing. They've got a so-called scientific equation. I'm trying to think. Whose number is it? It's somebody's number. Is it Avogadro? No, not Avogadro. Somebody else. Somebody supposedly came up with a number to determine the probability that there is life out there in outer space. Let me look that one up. But it's not Avogadro. It's somebody else. Let me see if I can find that right now. The scientific equation, life, space. This will come up pretty quick, I think. Drake, that's who it was. Who am I confusing it with? Who's Avogadro? How do I confuse those two? Let's find out. Who is Avogadro? I'm pretty sure he's got a number as well. The Avogadro constant, the number of constituent particles, usually atoms, are, of course, that are contained in the amount of substance given by one mole. That's from chemistry, high school chemistry, yes. Whereas old mate, Drakey boy, the Drake equation, that was from high school physics, yes. We were taught in high school physics the Drake equation for determining the chances that there is life out there elsewhere in the universe. So let's have a look here. Let's see if I can bring this up so we can have a bit of a discussion about it. This is space.com. Here we go. So you've got the number of civilizations in the Milky Way. Let's bring this up on screen so you guys at home can play along. Just give me a second here. We'll just go to the old... Beautiful. Paste and go. There we go. Beautiful. Bring that one back. Everybody's happy. Alrighty then. So let's check this out. This is from space.com, an article dated March 26, 2014. That's almost 4 years ago. Boy, oh boy, where does the time go? It says, the Drake equation is used to estimate the number of communicating civilizations in the cosmos, or more simply put, the odds of finding intelligent life in the universe. First proposed by radio astronomer Frank Drake in 1961, the equation calculates the number of...
I just want to apologize, Jono. My internet just dropped out. I really am sorry about that. So I'll let you go.
At least things happen, mate. Yep. I'm just talking about Drake's equation. First proposed by radio astronomer Frank Drake in 1961, the equation calculates the number of communicating civilizations by multiplying several variables. It's usually written... according to the search for extraterrestrial intelligence as N equals, and I won't bother reading that out, but all of these different variables, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, we've got 7 variables here. So N, the number of civilizations in the Milky Way galaxy whose electromagnetic emissions are detectable, can be found with these 7 variables. The rate of formation of stars suitable for the development of intelligent life, which is a hoax. The fraction of those stars with planetary systems, well, planets are a hoax. Number of planets per solar system with an environment suitable for life, that's obviously a hoax. The fraction of suitable planets on which life actually appears, another hoax. The fraction of life-bearing planets on which intelligent life emerges, clearly a hoax. The fraction of civilizations that develop a technology that releases detectable signs of their existence into space. Well, how could you possibly come up with such a number? Even if the rest weren't hoaxes, which they are. And finally, the length of time such civilizations release detectable signals into space. So you can see that even if you believe in outer space, these 7 variables are all completely speculative. It's a silly number. But once you understand how much of what this is based on is a hoax, this is a joke. This is a joke of a thing. But this was taught to me in high school physics, in high school science. Rollo, can you believe this?
Yeah. Where are we? Are we up to the toddler level or the kiddie level, are we?
Well, while you were gone, I thought I would just put the kibosh on the hoaxes. But let's get back to the hoaxes, shall we? So we agree that the baby hoaxes are hoaxes. You with me about that?
100%.
Excellent. So let's move on, shall we, to the toddler hoaxes. There's two in there. Osama bin Laden and the Apollo missions. Let's focus on Osama bin Laden first. Can you remember, Rollo, where were you? How long ago was it when you realized that Osama bin Laden was a hoax?
Well, I can tell you exactly where I was on 9/11. I went to bed early that night. That happened on a Tuesday morning, American time. So Australia, it was a Monday evening. And is that right? Let me think. Yes. I'd gone home early, and I went to bed early with my wife that night, and then woke up in the morning and all shit is broken loose. But that's not the question you ask. You ask, where was I when I learned that Osama bin Laden? What was the question again?
Yeah, so you believe that the official 9/11 story was real, but at a certain point you found out that Osama bin Laden was a hoax.
Oh, yeah. I think it was probably, as I'd been listening afterwards, 2005, before Alex Jones and Loose Change and all that got into it, into the whole idea of the tower collapses being shoddy, but Osama bin Laden himself, maybe when they put that fake Osama who had a watch on, remember, and they put chubby Osama, and they try to get away with that one, I don't know. Something always stunk about Osama bin Laden, you know, the boogeyman. Maybe, yes, it was probably when I watched Fahrenheit 9/11, Michael Moore's film. And he was making him out to be a boogeyman. When I learned that Michael Moore wasn't all he was made out to be, he wasn't the truth seeker. He was there basically going along with the official story. And I can't be sure. It's so long ago, Jono. I can remember where I was when I heard the planes got hit, but not when Osama bin Laden was just a hoax of a human being, if that helps.
Yeah, it does help. What I'm going to do is I'm going to bring up a photo of these different Osama bin Ladens, right? Because you look at the different Osamas that have been around, and they do look like slightly different guys, don't they? So let's look at these different Osamas right now. You've got them on your screen there. I'll zoom in a little bit further. Now, you can't see this, Rollo, but you did refer to it, so you know what I'm talking about. So we've got these different Osama bin Ladens, and I think the one maybe third there, third from the left, he might be that the pudgier Osama bin Laden. So what you're suggesting is that the different Osama bin Ladens that we were given on TV, they were actually played by different people. It wasn't just one guy. It was a bunch of different people pretending to be Osama bin Laden. Is that basically what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah, and he's just the boogeyman. That they can, the Americans at the time just said, they need a boogeyman. So they produced this guy who's a CIA asset. I mean, if you're going to believe all of that, what was his name? Tim Osman or whatever. And that was the story we got told. So.
Very interesting stuff. All right. So you know that old mate Osama is a hoax. How about the Apollo missions? When was it that you first realized that maybe old mate Neil Armstrong didn't actually set foot on the moon?
Oh, yeah. That was probably around the same time. And I think it was 9/11 that just did it for me. I just went, oh, man. I mean, because the internet access was becoming more and more available. And I think it was when I watched A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon by Bart Sobrell. Before that, and after that, I went back and looked at the Apollo missions, and you look, how the hell did they get a car on that lunar lander that's made, as you point out, looks like it's put together with sticky tape and, you know, aluminium foil, and oh, it's just laughable, isn't it? So.
You were in the live chat yesterday when I was trying to chat with my old buddy, P. Mars.
I was.
And we were discussing the lunar module, and I was saying, look at this sticky tape and cardboard and aluminium foil. It's interesting, isn't it, that there are people who, they really believe that the sticky tape was left there by accident. Rollo, what do you make about this idea? There are people who are saying, yes, the lunar module is fake. You can see the sticky tape and the aluminium foil, but they didn't intentionally leave that there. That was an accident because they had a low budget to fake the moon landings. What do you think about this idea?
Have a low budget. They had all the money in the world. But even with all the money in the world, Stanley Kubrick couldn't make it look real. He made it look real for the people at the time. Even the people that I worked with, I think that worked for NASA probably thought they were going to the moon. But, I mean, look at what we can look at these days. We can look at frame by frame. We can speed up the astronauts, and you can see them, you know, being held up by wires. I mean, there's just so much wrong. You can look at the, you know, two light sources if you want, but I just think the lunar lander is the smoking gun. Not the lunar lander and the car they got to the moon. That's the smoking gun. I mean, it's retarded to think you went to the moon, but it's not nice because people were fooled. I was fooled. You were too, I'm sure. Sure, most of your life you thought we went to the moon. Yeah, and I didn't feel angry about it. I just feel that we, afterwards, I don't feel angry when I'm, well, I get a little bit irritated, let's put it that way, that, you know, that they've been lying all this time. But we know about it now, so NASA's got its work cut out. I think maybe that's why this Elon Musk and this Tesla car in space is some sort of distraction to help NASA out, because I don't, you know, as Gough Whitlam said, may God save the Queen, because nothing will save NASA now, in my opinion.
Nothing other than public incredulity, which remains as it always has been. And of course, the living masses don't really care about any of this stuff. They've got other things to worry about. So you're one of the believers in the Kubrick conspiracy. You believe Kubrick did the moon landings?
Yes, absolutely.
I'm not trying to be cheeky. I'm just genuinely curious to know what is it that leads you to suspect that Kubrick did the moon landing?
Because of I think it was a fellow, I forgot his name. He did a wonderful expose on the film The Shining, Stephen King's book. Stephen King wrote The Shining, and then Kubrick kind of changed it all. And for the life of me, I can't remember. The film is called Kubrick's Odyssey. You can look it up online. He did all the work. Kubrick apparently had access to, you know, slow-mo cameras and the best work. I mean, Kubrick did Dr. Strangelove, and apparently without even seeing the inside of a B-52 bomber back in 63, it looked so realistic. Apparently they went, let's get this guy to do it. So let's get this guy to fake it. And sure enough, he did a good enough job at the time. Everybody believed it. The Pope, everybody.
Can I tell you something quite honestly, Rollo? I don't actually believe
always be honest with me.
Kubrick. Yep. I don't really believe in the Kubrick did the moon landings narrative. I think it's possible, but I've seen no compelling evidence that it was actually him. I'm open to it, though, because it's a pretty cool story, isn't it? Like the idea that he made The Shining as some kind of apology or admission.
Confession. Yeah.
Like a confession. You know, he's got the main character, you know, going mad. You know, he's meant to be writing a book out in the snow, and he's going mad. He's going so mad that it's affecting his relationships with his family and these kinds of things. I find that fascinating. It's a fascinating story. It's a very interesting story.
Have you read the original novel by Stephen King? Have you read it?
No, I haven't. No, have you?
No, you read that, and that novel, just to cut a long story short, is about an alcoholic is writing a book going mad. Whereas, so changed the way Kubrick's done it. I think Stephen King did a version that was more faithful to the book, and it's not very good. But the Shining, there's just all over the place. The little kitty in the hallway, and he stands up, and he's got the Apollo T-shirt on. I mean, or the knitted jumper on.
He's in my banner for my website. That little kid in the Apollo top. He's in my banner. Yeah. So don't get me wrong, man. I'm familiar with the story. I like the story. I think it's fascinating. But in terms of compelling evidence, maybe there's not as much as I wish there were. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
All right. Well, I'll give you an example of why I think the Apollo missions. When they're taking off from the moon, the camera tilts up, and you can see the thing wobble. You can see it's on a string, and it's wobbling as it goes up. It's only slight, but if you look at it, you can see it's a model shot. It doesn't look anything like the lunar lander close up. You just watch that, and as it goes up, it just wobbles ever so slightly. You can just see it. Model. It's a model. Why would they fake
it? You and I both know that, but that doesn't mean that it was Kubrick who did it. We both agree
Good point.
When did first see the film Capricorn 1?
Pretty soon afterwards, because it gets referenced in Bart Sobrell's A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon. So as soon as I saw it in that, I got my hands on Capricorn 1, and yep, that film with, who was it, Sam Waterston, O.J. Simpson, and James Brolin, where they, they take them down, and they set the rocket off, and then something goes wrong, and then, and they're out to be killed. Yeah, it's a good film to watch. It's a well worth a watch.
Where they're standing on the setting, like they're on the set, and the director has just explained, listen, boys, here's what we're doing. And then the leader of the three astronauts says, you don't really think we can get away with this, do you? And the director says, well, I don't know. It's a chance. Maybe it's not a good one, but it's a chance, right? And, of course, a chance. Are you kidding? You put it on TV, the masses believe it, man. What are they going to do? What are they going to do? Are the masses, even if every single one of them sitting at home goes, this is bullshit, are they going to walk out their front doors and look across the neighbor and say, hey, Tracy, did you just see, hey, Bill, did you just, guys, they're lying to it. That's never going to happen, man. Never.
But it's amazing that they actually made that film, and it's so close to what I reckon happened with the moon.
They literally recreated the walk by Armstrong from the module to the moon. They recreated it in terms of the angles of the camera and everything for Mars. So to me, it couldn't be more blatant what they're trying to say. And then people try and tell me, Rollo, oh, they're keeping the truth from us. They're keeping the secrets from us. It's like, no, they're not. They're telling you quite blatantly, this is all fake, right? How many films do they have to release? How many TV shows? How many times do they have to put it right in your face, it's all fake, before you realize they're not trying to hide it from you. They're trying to tell you.
I think it's a part of Freemasonry that you have to do revelation by the method or something. I don't know. You might know a bit more about that than I do.
I used to believe that too. Oh, they have to, you know, Alex Jones says, they have to do that to double their power. What the hell does that even mean, man? Is it possible that maybe they're not actually trying to keep us all in the dark? They're happy for the Lenin masses to be in the dark, but they're also simultaneously trying to tell the rest of us with eyes to see, hey, guys, this is all an act, okay? Look at the aluminium foil. Look at the sticky tape, right? They know that the vast majority of people will never... They'll never put two and two together, okay? The average human doesn't want to think for himself, okay? And they know that. But they also know there's a small group of us who will think for ourselves and will say, hey, look at this aluminium foil. Look at these bloody broomsticks here, right? Look at this cardboard and crepe paper. This is a joke, right?
Look at the lack of a crater underneath if it's supposed to have come down the way it was.
Or if you listen
to the audio... And you can't even hear a rocket when they're going, oh, the eagle has landed. You know, just before that, you can't hear a rocket at all.
Exactly. So the evidence they give us that it was real is obviously crap, and they could have done better, but they didn't. And then in pop culture, they give us all of these signs, all of these notions that it was fake. Maybe they're not such bad people after all. Maybe they're trying to help those of us with eyes to see, Rollo. Are you at least open-minded to this possibility?
And plus, you must have seen the... when they came back, they looked like the three saddest blokes ever did a news conference. It was the saddest fucking thing you've ever seen, those three. Michael Collins, Neil Armstrong, and Buzz Aldrin.
What we're going to do, Roland, is I want to go to the live audience streaming through fakeologist.com. That's fakeologist.com. Check it out. Discord server. Everybody's welcome. Come and have a chat about all things media fakery. And we're also streaming through John LeBon YouTube, which we'll go to right now to see what the live audience has to say. There is precisely 33 people watching now, Rollo. I know you'll love that. One of your favorite numbers. So
let's 33. Yeah, wow.
Let's check out the old live chat. And my old mate, Tim Osman.
I'll be right back. All right.
Yeah, well, don't come back too smoked out, mate. We like you when you're not too far.
No, just a cigarette. No weed. It's a cigarette.
Okay, all right, no funny business. All right, so we've got with us Timmy Osman in the live chat, and he says that we might as well have a flat earther on. Well, that's a very unnecessary comment, Timmy. Why would you say such a thing, eh? You can come on the show if you like. That'd be great. We've got the Buddha with us. He says that Kubrick used front screen projection. Okay, maybe he did, but why do you believe it was Kubrick? Are you open-minded to the possibility that it was not Kubrick? And if you are open-minded to that possibility, let's inspect the evidence. What is the evidence that it was Kubrick that did the moon landings? What's the evidence? Serious question. Carrying on then, NumbyNum says, if you watch some interviews with Douglas Trumbull, who did the effects for 2001 and NASA, you don't have to read between the lines much to get that it's all fake. Okay, interesting. Horse wearing Holocaust survivor's costume says, this is a great stream and I'm happy to be here. Well, thank you for the lovely comment. The horse wearing Holocaust survivor's costume, that's a very nice thing of you to say. Fep Fep says, this guy talking doesn't offer anything more than the average YouTuber at home clicking a few links. Well, if you're going to leave negative comments, you have to specify, are you talking about myself or are you talking about Crazy Rollo? Please be more specific. Carrying on with the comments then, and Chad Allen says, like I said, cognitive dissonance, the powers have been studying human nature and psychology for a very long time. Okay, it was actually very interesting yesterday in the live stream. Of course, I did do a live stream. Yes, that's great to hear. I did a live stream yesterday where I was covering this jet fuel is a hoax meme, because now some of these conspiracy theorists, they're going around and saying that jet fuel might be a hoax. They're saying that, you know, A380s, the Airbus A380, is powered by something other than jet fuel, is what they're claiming. They're claiming that it couldn't possibly hold this much fuel, or it would be too heavy, or they don't know how the fuel would get in the wings, or I don't know what they're... I mean, it's just a mishmash of poorly thought-out arguments, if you ask me. So I was covering
Make sure you post that on johnlebon.com, the videos, because I've watched a few of them. Have you been on an A380, Jono?
I have. This was back in 2010, so they hadn't been around for very long.
When you got from Joburg to Perth?
I think it was from Melbourne to Singapore. It was either from Melbourne to Singapore or Singapore to London. It was one of the two. I think it was Melbourne-Singapore, though. I'd have to go and check my little itinerary, which I've kept. But, it was amazing. In fact, I'm pretty sure it was the Melbourne to Singapore leg, because I'm pretty sure it was the first international flight I'd taken, and it was smooth as, man. You didn't even know you were leaving the tarmac. And then I kind of was spoiled by that.
So then were you in coach? Were you in coach or upstairs in one of the rooms?
Of course I was in economy, coach. Man. Of course, yeah.
Yeah, but in economy, it's almost like being business class. Especially if you fly Emirates. Oh, my God. They look after you so well. I'd never fly Qantas again.
Well, you recently took a little trip out to see another fakeologist over there in Ireland. You went and saw Del Qua, who is another fakeologist.com regular, and you spent a good couple of weeks with old Del, didn't you?
Did. Oh, that was so much fun. I saw my great-uncle's grave, Michael Collins, and we did a lot of traveling. We went up to Belfast, and we saw the Peace Wall in between... The Peace Wall that almost looks like the Berlin Wall used to, that separated Berlin when that got knocked down. But that's still there. It's just an amazing place to go. So I do suggest you get up to Ireland one day and go over to England together or something, because that'll be a lot of fun too.
Who was the first to get into fakeologist.com? Was it yourself or was it Del Qua?
Del's always had his own outside radio, but it's sort of there's a crossover there, and Del's certainly interested in what we're interested in. And I don't, by the way, when you use the word conspiracy theorist, I always find that I always have a problem with that. That's just an easy.
Do you consider yourself?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, neither do I. No,
because I wouldn't identify that. That's the mainstream media's easy label. It's just like calling you a flat earther, you know. It's just their easy way out, and this just doesn't cut it anymore. Even when you were talking to that fella yesterday, when he couldn't hold an argument with you, he just started calling you names. It was embarrassing.
He's in the live chat right now, and a few people in the live chat are saying, "P. Mars, you embarrassed yourself yesterday. I can't believe you're even here." And it is interesting, isn't it? Some people, they don't really seem to have a sense of shame or embarrassment. You know, they can go onto a live show and embarrass themselves, get triggered, carrying on like a porcupine, leave in disgrace, And they're back here the very next day carrying on like they've achieved something. We're dealing with some curious creatures, my friend, Rollo. We're dealing with some very curious creatures. And this is one of the reasons why I don't identify with them.
Hey, look, let me say this. Good luck to him for at least having the gumption to try and call you. But it didn't take long until, you just asked him a few pertinents back. And then suddenly he's calling your names. I mean,
well, I didn't even know he wanted to come on to have an adversarial debate. Like, I didn't realize that. And then he came on, and at first he was nice. And then things started devolving. I'll give you an example. He was saying that the people who were in charge, like, have satanic child abuse rituals or something like this. And I was like, okay, what's your evidence for that? And it was like no one had ever asked him that question before. And this is one of the problems with the so-called truth movement. It attracts a lot of people who repeat the same stories to each other over and over so many times.
He's watched too much Alex Jones.
Yeah, they just accept these stories as true because everyone else does. And they've never actually thought to themselves, hold on, what is my evidence for these beliefs? You know, like maybe they are.
How the hell did Alex Jones sneak a camera in there and get all that footage? And why is he still alive if it wasn't all a load of baloney?
Don't interrupt me there. So what I'm saying is,
sorry, mate.
Why are these people not asking themselves a question? What evidence do we have for these beliefs? Maybe the people who run the show are evil and they're performing these blood rituals and what? Maybe. Do we have any evidence at all for that? What is the best evidence? And I think a lot of these guys, they've been hanging around in the same echo chambers for so long, they believe this stuff is already proven, but they've forgotten that actually, no, it's not. Someone told you this story, you believed it, but it doesn't mean it's true, right? And they're allowed to believe these things, but there's no point coming on my show and saying this stuff if you don't at least have some evidence to support it. Because the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to say, well, do you have any evidence for that? And he got triggered by that. It was a great shame, but he's probably a nice person. You know, he's probably a nice guy. You know, I mean, that's the thing that I've learned too. People act very differently online to what they do in real life often. So I try not to hold it against them, Rollo. But listen, mate, we've been going here for almost an hour. We can keep going for a little bit more, but we need to get through this
Let me just say this. Let me, just before I forget, where's your evidence of that? I made a little comment when I was up in Belfast, and I'd never seen a chemtrail before I got to Ireland. And I said on the video, there you go, John LeBond, where's your evidence for that? And there it was in front of me. I'd never seen a chemtrail before.
So I'm glad you brought this up. Did you actually believe, because I saw that video. It was either you or Dale uploaded it, so I saw it. Did you, looking back, because you guys have been out having a bit of a celebratory drink, nothing wrong with that. When you watched back the footage sober, were you still convinced that that was a chemtrail?
Certainly wasn't a contrail. I live here in Newcastle. You live there in Brisbane. I know that PK said he's seen them in Melbourne. I've been in Melbourne plenty of times. I've never seen lines in the sky like I have when I was in Ireland. And I went to three different places in Ireland. I went to Kildare, where Delcar is. I went to Galway, and I went to Belfast. And I saw those lines in the sky in all three places. And I've never seen them here in Australia. I know Silverbeam says he's seen them where he is somewhere. I think he's in Ballarat. No, never seen them here. I only see contrails, and contrails dissipate straight away. These things are great big long lines in the sky, and they don't dissipate. Now, if that's different, because of the different weather conditions or whatever, I don't know. It's just, and I'm not saying that there's chemicals that they're actually spraying us with. It's just. Something that's interesting to me that I've never seen them before, and there you go. I've seen them plenty on plenty of videos. What on earth are they spraying? I've seen documentaries and all this fear mongering stuff. I'm not fear mongering. I never will. I'll never fear monger. But
what I'm going to do, Rollo, I know that you can't hear this because you're not on the OBS. You're with me in the Discord server. But I'm going to play that 2-minute, 25-second video of yourself and Dell.
I'll go on.
This is up to 62 views. So I'll play this now, and the audience at home can get an idea of what's going on. I'll play it with the audio. I'll go on mute as well. All right, so that was the video in question. Let's just go off that there. So that was Rollo and Del go to Belfast. Let me just scroll.
And I apologise about the audio there. There was a generator outside Kelly's bar there where we were. But, yeah, you could see that the second plane looked like it was doing a contrail, but the first one, the streak, yeah, it just stayed. Yeah.
So that was interesting. Let me see if I can just go to one of the shots there. There we go. So I'll just bring that one back. We'll just zoom in a little bit. So this a lot of people, Rollo, would say this is just a standard contrail rather than a chemtrail, but you were saying this is no contrail. This is a chemtrail.
Well, again, the whole chemtrail thing, to me, it's fear-mongering. I know Prince went on and said that when Prince was alive or whatever happened to him, said that he'd get praying and it would send everybody in his neighbourhood batty. Del and I were just outside Kelly's bar. He was having a couple of Guinnesses. I had a couple of Heinekens, and we didn't go batty. We were just intrigued by what we could see in the sky. Thank you, Ab.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Thank you. Yes, a big thanks to Ab of Fakeologist.com. Of course, this is Who Are the Fakeologists, an impromptu chat on the 9th of March 2018. John Le Bon coming to you from Brisbane. Crazy Roller down there in Newcastle on the coast of New South Wales. Coming to you live via YouTube and Fakeologist.com. We're talking today about a lot of things, including, apparently, chemtrails and contrails. And you were there in Ireland, chatting with old mate Delqua from Ireland.
Absolutely.
Also a happy resident of Fakeologist.com. And you saw what some people would call a contrail, but what you are calling a chemtrail.
Again, I don't know if they're actually spraying, if it's, again, I'm not fear-mongering here, but it just, the line just didn't dissipate, just hung there. So I don't know if that's to do with their atmosphere up there north, but PK has made multiple videos on chemtrails in Melbourne, and so again, you can call me crazy if you want. It upset Dave, it won't upset me though. DJ. Yeah,
that's just an inside joke, which I explained
right,
at the start.
I've got it.
It was very, very amusing to me. And some of the people in the live chat, we're up to about 40, they might not be aware that you and I chatted with Crazy Dave J maybe a week or two ago at fakeologist.com. And boy, oh boy, what a discussion that was, Rollo. What did you make of it?
Yeah, the mega chat. Well, what I make of it is this. I don't know how many Australians we have in the text chat, but Crazy Dave J, if you're going to call me Crazy Roll, I'll call him Crazy Dave, says that Tony Abbott and Tony Blair are literally the same person, even though Tony Abbott, you know, wears budgie smugglers and is a bit of a dickhead, he's certainly got an Australian accent, he's not literally the same person as Tony Blair. And back in the day, Dave J, he was a bit of a, what do you call it, a poor man's, what was his name, the fellow that called Jodie Foster and Julia Gillard?
Ed Sheerini, Dallas Goldbug.
Ed Sheerini, that's it. Dallas Goldbug, that's him. Yeah, and do the morphing thing. I think that sort of stuff, yeah, you can call crazy because it's sort of discredit by association is a term that we use here. And I'm sure you've heard that before, but there you go. I love to chat with you.
It's quite relevant because whether it's, you know, saying that this politician is really this politician, or this actor is also this other actor, or, you know, chemtrails are real, or these sorts of things, I personally find them not particularly compelling cases that are ever made for these things, right? And so I don't identify with groups of people who believe this stuff. And I think a lot of so-called truthers, or a lot of them call themselves researchers, which is amusing to me. A lot of these people think they're part of a group. They're part of a movement. And that movement, even if it did exist, Rollo, I would want nothing to do with it.
Sure.
Same with the child, you know, blood ritual sacrifice nonsense. It's like, hey, if that's real, I'm happy to look at the evidence. But you don't have any you guys just believe it, and you attack people like me for asking questions.
Yeah.
I don't really identify with these people, man.
Sorry. The reason I said that is because where's your evidence for that? I was only joking, half joking, but there was evidence that there was a line in the sky. That's the only evidence that I've got, that it's a line in the sky. There's no evidence, as you quite rightly point out, that there's chemicals in there. They're nefarious chemicals in there to do what to us? I don't know. There's no evidence there. I agree.
Yeah, so we agree there was a line. And so if you're saying you've never seen that kind of chemtrail before, fair enough, that would be quite experience. But I see contrails like that from time to time, and, you know, it's not something that... mind you, I was watching the cricket last week, Australia-South Africa. It's being played in South Africa, and they were at Durban, which is on the east coast of South Africa. So I've been there. I know it a little bit. And in one of the wide shots that they have, you could see a massive contrail being made in the background, and it was kind of, I couldn't help but notice it. It was amusing to me. And I thought, I wonder how many people around the world, especially in Australia and South Africa, are watching this particular match right now, and they're seeing that contrail or chemtrail, I think it's a contrail, I don't believe in chemtrails, but hey, I'm not here to tell people what to believe. Whatever it is, I wonder how many people are looking at that, and they're thinking about this kind of stuff as well. And that's one of the issues, is that once you get this into somebody's head, it tends to change the way they interact with the world around them. Do you know what I mean? So all of a sudden, when they're looking at the sky, they're looking for chemtrails. You know what I mean? It's the same with the flat earthers. Once you convince someone that the earth is flat, they're always looking for proof that the earth is flat. You know, they kind of lose their...
Yeah, I remember.
They kind of lose their bearings a little bit, don't they?
Yeah. And when the flat earthers, you're David Weiss is in that saying that there is no flight from... What was it, from Joburg to Perth, or to... You can get a direct flight from Joburg to Brisbane now, so I'm... Yeah. Again, I think that's been thrown into the mix to try and save NASA, but again, may God save the Queen, because nothing will save NASA. That's so proven.
Except public incredulity, which isn't going to...
Incredulity, there you go. Which is the next level up. We're going to move up to Kitty.
Why don't we move up in the old host hierarchy? Good thinking. Let's move up. So let's move up to the... Kitty hoax level. So we've done the baby hoaxes. We've looked briefly at the toddler hoaxes. Now we're up to kitty level. Now we're starting to make some progress here, Rollo. So there's three on this particular level. You've got 9/11 no planes, the Holo hoax, and NASA fakery. Choose one of those three and give us your take.
Well, let's choose the most controversial one, the Holo hoax. The whole idea that that people were systematically put in gas chambers, 6 million of the Jews were put into gas chambers and murdered, is the official story. They've changed the numbers so many times, but 6 million is still a huge number. And I've seen David Cole's video, and he's gone to Auschwitz, and you have that tiny little room that's supposed to be the gas chamber. It's laughable. It's a joke. It never happened. Yes, people were put into camps, and they were shipped around the place. And yes, when the Allies bombed the crap out of Germany, people starved, and a lot of them, who's going to starve the most? It's going to be the people that are in the camps, the at the end of the food chain when that shit's going on. But I don't think there's any evidence whatsoever that that Treblinka, Bergen-Belsen, any of these, what do they call, concentration camps, where they were actually, you know, Zyklon being, that is just, that's just out there, not real. That's my opinion. And, of course, that is going against the ADL, and, you know, they've got these museums up, and we are, like, anyone who questions it, we're Holocaust deniers, we're the lowest of low, the scummest of scum, and people like David Irving and Ernst Sundel, and people that, and David Cole himself, who's actually a Jew, have been treated so badly just because they're historians and they do their work diligently. The propaganda machine from the ADL and the JDL can't cope with it. So all they do is call your names, Holocaust deniers. What say you, Jono?
Yeah, well, those are some hard-hitting comments from Crazy Rollo from Fakeologist.com. Remember, check out Fakeologist.com for all discussions of fakery of all kinds. Yes, very interesting topic. the old Hollow Hoax, certain to get a few people hot under the collar. Let's move on then, shall we, to the broader question of NASA fakery. Huh. It's one thing to say that the Apollo missions were fake, and anybody who looks at the sticky tape and the cardboard will arrive at the conclusion that the lunar modules were faked. But NASA fakery is another level altogether. Now we're talking about the ISS. Yep. We're talking about the rovers on Mars and these kinds of things. When was it, Rollo, can you remember, when you first found yourself looking at the ISS and thinking, this is all a joke?
I think it's the big fat tubby American, the Gabby Giffords husband. I've forgotten his name for the moment. Can you help me out? Gabby Giffords. It's someone in the chat. Can they help me out? What was Kelly? Kelly. I think his name's Kelly. Anyway,
yeah, so there was an ISS astronaut, or whatever they call themselves, who was married to Gabby Giffords, who was a politician who was shot or something.
Yeah, in the back of the head, and somehow survived. It was retarded. That whole thing was another gun grab or attempted gun grab. But to the NASA fakery, when you see all the video footage, and I've looked at a lot of it, and so have a lot of other people online, and them, you know, when they're doing their little let's go back to Earth, and they're flipping the microphone, and it looks like it's floating in space, and they do their little black backflips, and then you've got Chris, whatever, the Canadian astronaut playing the guitar in space, and then you've got gorilla suits, people popping out of boxes and going through with gorilla suits on. This is all made for children. They're not doing any experiments, and then they're explaining how they brush their teeth and then the little floaty bubbles in space. What the hell, if they're up there, which they're not, this is all aimed at children, I think, and people that are susceptible to this, what do you call it? This
fakery.
Trickery.
Deception.
Media deception, let's put it that way. Media deception. And they've got away with it for years, and they still have to do it. Anyway, you go, John.
Well, they'll keep getting away with it, mate. The point I'm trying to make to people is there are some people who want to think for themselves and will look at the evidence objectively and will believe what they think is the truth, even if everyone around them tells them they're not allowed to think that. They're a tiny minority of the creatures that we call humans. Most humans will always believe what the masses tell them to believe, okay? They might have a slight difference of opinion here or there, but generally speaking, they're not going to go against the herd. That's just the way that it is. So I don't think they're going to be stopping these silly stories anytime soon. In fact, I think they're going to get worse. I think they're going to convince people that they've gone to Mars. And we've already seen them, you know, planting those seeds with the, was it Ethan Hawke or Matt Damon? One of those two dudes went to Mars a couple of years ago on the big screen. Yeah, Matt Damon. And he was growing potatoes with his own human manure. And, wow, what a great triumph of human ingenuity and survival that he could do such a thing. And, of course, it's just a movie. It's just a movie. It's not real. But those images are being implanted in people's minds. And to make it all the easier when they're shown footage of a human Mars mission at some point in the future. What a time to be alive. Boy, oh, boy. Now, one final topic on the Kitty Hoax level, and this is your favorite role. I'm saving this one for you. 9/11, no planes. Give us your take on this.
Well, obviously, we have to thank Simon Shack. He was the one that caught me onto. No, it wasn't. Let me just rephrase. It was an Australian musician called Gerard Holmgren. He had a website back in 2005. That I was reading, and he was active. Apparently, he's since passed away, but he was the first one. He wrote big, long essays about why there were no planes on 9/11 and the inconsistencies with the footage we've shown. But it was Simon Shack and September Clues, cluesforum.info, septemberclues.info. You can still get it there. You can't get it on, I think a few people have mirrored it on YouTube, so you can watch it there. Yeah. So it shows the Fox, I think, 11 footage, and you can see that there's no plane, and then suddenly they zoom in, they do three zooms in, and then the plane hits, blacks out, and then you see the nose come out the other side. it's clearly a clearly CGI, and then all the footage, the Herzer County footage, and the other amateur footage, and I know, yeah, it just shows a plane slicing through a steel and concrete building, like a hot knife through butter, and that just can't possibly happen. A plane would just hit the side of a building and bump off. You've got a YouTube up there with me, you, and Russian Vids having a big, long chat about this for about 2 hours a couple of years ago. I thought if your listeners want to go back and listen to that, I think that explains it pretty well.
That was a impromptu chat, which is no longer, I think it's no longer available as a video on my YouTube channel, but it is available as a podcast, as an audio podcast. So I can put a link to that in the info box below. But, of course, what I'm doing is putting all of my old videos on my website, like an archive on the website, exclusively for the website. And I'm trying to reduce the number of videos that I've got on YouTube. But there is one on YouTube that I've still got there. It's got about 8,000 views. And since we're using OBS and the technology is going well, what I'd love to do is bring that up on the screen right now. So while I'm fiddling around with that one, Rollo, pardon me, tell me more about the 9/11 plane business, the nose coming out the other side. You're saying that there was footage from the day, official footage, of a plane coming out the other side of the buildings, an aluminium plane going through a steel structure, Rollo, and you're saying that you don't actually believe that that's physically possible.
Well, I'm only parroting Simon's view. Simon, what Simon thinks is that the mask went left, and so when they and if you go and watch September Clues, and I suggest everybody in the live the text chat that's listening to us now go and watch September Clues, and he's done a really excellent job as to what he thinks happened. But even though he's talking about trickery, which is CGI stuff, which is very early on in the piece. There's no way. You have a look at like a 747 or a 737 or 767 when it hits a bird, and you can see what it does to the nose cone of a plane. There's absolutely no chance.
Let me just play 1 or 2 minutes from a video that I released more than a year ago now. It's got about, let's see here, about 8,000 views. So for a channel of my size, that's pretty good, because my YouTube channel is a pretty small channel. So 8,000 views.
I'll be back in 2 minutes. See ya.
You'll be back in 2 minutes. We're going to play this. It won't be coming through on the Fakeologist audio stream. I'm pretty sure this will just be for the YouTube viewers. So apologies for the dead air at fakeologist.com. This will just be a couple of minutes. We'll be back in a jiffy. This is Skeptic Destroys 9/11 Inside Job Conspiracy Theories. Check this out. So what I'll do is I'll put a link to that video in the info box below. You can go check that on your screen.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
If you're watching on YouTube there, I even provide, these are official story diagrams or charts, if you like, showing the air density change with altitude. And it says it quite clearly that at sea level, the air is 3 times as dense as it is at cruising altitude. Now, is it really? I mean, I haven't been there to check. Maybe the air is not any less dense at cruising altitude. Maybe it's the same density at all altitudes. I guess that's possible. I'm just showing you the story, the official story. So there's not really much more I can do for you.
Yeah. Have you ever been to an air show? Have you ever seen an airplane that size flying at 500 miles per hour? It just can't happen. They just can't fly that quick.
How some airports around the world, there'll be rows, like regular passenger rows that are not far from the airport itself, like the landing tarmac. And so, I mean, even in Melbourne, the airport is it Dingley or where is it? The one in the southeast.
Where is it?
Is it Moorabbin? You can drive really close to it. And the point is, you can be not far from the planes when they're landing. Do you know what I mean? And so you can get an idea of the speed they're traveling at when they land. And for these large planes, they're not traveling very fast when they take off and when they land. They don't have to. Down here at this altitude, sea level, they don't have to be traveling very fast to get the necessary lift to take off, you see. And that's kind of the point being made, isn't it?
Yeah, the point they're trying to make in that is that they were saying that, you know, they're going at 500 miles an hour at that level. It's just a 757 or a 767, which are a huge fucking plane. Yeah, cannot travel at that speed. It's pure CGI. I'm sure you're using the Herzikani shot video that you did.
Is that the Herzikani one? It's the one
where... Yeah, that's the Herzikani, where the wing goes, the wingtip goes behind that building.
Yeah, I think that's right, yeah.
And how did they get that shot? Because that to take that video, you'd have to be in the water, so you'd have to be in a boat or something to actually get that shot.
I think one of the most popular videos that was ever done on that particular shot was by somebody who I'm sure you're very familiar with, none other than Marcus Allen.
Yeah, Marcus
Allen. Who was a former friend of Fakeologist.com, and I'm pretty sure
The beginning, yes, but then he sort of did a Jeff C on us, and the reason I had a big sort of punch up with him on air was when he was outrageously rude to Simon Shack, and I couldn't stand that, and I just said, I don't want to have anything more to do with you, and ever since then I've never spoken to the man, and good luck to him with what he does in his life, but... it was truthin7minutes.com, remember him?
Website is still up. And I listened to some older interviews that he did with Ab, the Fakeologist. And one of the things that Marcus said that stuck with me, he was talking about the coffins on the planes. You know, they show these photos in the media of dead bodies coming back, dead soldiers coming back from Afghanistan or Iraq or whatever. And this is just me going off the memory of something that happened almost a year ago, like a podcast I listened to a year ago that was several years old when I listened to it. But I seem to recall him pointing out that we actually don't know exactly what's underneath those flags, right?
Sure.
Now, when you've seen films like Wag the Dog, you know how easily things like war can be staged, right? Wag the Dog, we got Dustin Hoffman, Robert De Niro, Kirsten Dunst, William H. Macy, all-star cast, right? A film from, what, the 1990s, 1997, I think? Talking about fake war.
Yeah, and Woody Harrelson, don't forget him. He was fantastic. Yeah,
so you've got an all-star cast, and they're making a Hollywood film about war being faked, quite obviously faked, and you start to think to yourself, you know, would you put it past the so-called government to pretend that there are dead bodies coming back from Iraq or Afghanistan? And me personally, I wouldn't put it past them. And then I look at all these photos of these planes coming back with flags draped over them, and I think, I've actually got no evidence to support some of the death counts that I'm given about these things happening in Iraq and Afghanistan. And so where I'm going with this, Rollo, is that I'm personally very thankful for the work that Marcus Allen did back in the day. I understand people have their problems with him now, but I'm more interested in the work that he's done in the past and how it helps me to reconsider things. And you know, I do hope he comes back. I think it'd be great if he came back and started doing podcasts.
Again, look, I can forgive him for being rude to Simon Shack, but again, the evidence, all right, there's no evidence there's bodies in those caskets or whatever. The evidence that we do have, and that's with what Simon Shack's given us, that's the evidence. You know, people like, the Herzikani guy or whoever the guy that was shooting straight up and he got that shot where the guy leans back would had to have been down underneath the... How the hell he got that shot is just beyond me. You know, the one where it's straight up and the plane goes in at speed. It's just impossible. It's all. It was called Camera Planet. And again, if your listeners at johnlebon.com want to go back and listen to Ab interview Simon Shack at length for 4 hours at a time, Simon Shack goes through it very, very simply and very concisely about all the inconsistencies that are going on, and the evidence is there. As to what's in the coffins and what's going on over in Afghanistan, I mean, me and you have spoken before about, we saw the fireworks show, what was it, the shock and awe thing, soon after, you know, when they went to Afghanistan and us Australians sent troops to Iraq. You know, there are questions to be asked there. I know we had that big, long discussion three or four weeks ago about is war a hoax? So maybe they should go and listen to the mega chat with you, because you're on it for pretty much the whole of that chat too. And we've got Kayham too. If she wants to unmute, I mean, she's welcome.
Is Kayham in the Discord?
Yeah, she's in the live stream. Yeah.
Well, she's certainly welcome if she wants to partake in this chat. She's more than welcome. Just make sure you're aware, Kayham, we're not just live at fakeologist.com. We're also live on my YouTube channel. There's about 30 or 40 people watching live right now. So you're welcome to join us. It's entirely up to you. So what we'll do is we'll maybe look at one more level of the hoax hierarchy. And what I'll do, Rollo, is I'll let you choose of the five items that are there. I'll let you choose which one is your favorite of the five.
Absolutely.
And if Kayham joins us, she can also choose one of the five to discuss as well. I'll give both of you the floor to give us your take. So there's five items on the teeny hoax level of the hoax hierarchy. You've got dinosaurs, atomic theory, war, evolution, and heliocentrism. I personally believe that all five are hoaxes, Rollo, but you choose one of those five and you tell me what you make.
Well, for me, it's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer for me. My favorite is atomic bombs. I mean, there was a guy who did, got his name. If you listen to Chris Kendall, one of his first hoaxbusters call, he spoke to the guy, Nukelize. And the whole idea of nuclear weapons being real, I assume atomic means nukes. And nuclear weapons and how they can destroy whole cities and whatnot. There's no evidence that there is such a thing called radiation and fallout, because where's the evidence? If Hiroshima and Nagasaki were supposedly nuked, they rebuilt those towns or those cities straight away. They were firebombed, because in Japan they have wooden cities because they get a lot of earthquakes, and they firebombed. And America, like, whether they, whether they were nukes or firebombs, should be ashamed, because Hiroshima and Nagasaki weren't military targets. They were just civilians. They killed a shit ton of people. And I'm not saying that Britain bombing Dresden or what the Germans, the Luftwaffe, did to East End of London is inexcusable too, because as you well know, I'm a pacifist, a conscientious objector. But if you look at all the atomic footage and the buses flipping over and the houses, the camera does not shake. Just why doesn't the camera get destroyed? If these nukes are doing what it's doing, it's just obvious that it's a hoax. So, yeah, atomic, nuclear bombs, hoax.
All right, so I should say that I need to go back and fix up this hierarchy, because what should be on a level below teeny, you've got the 9/11 planes, holohoax, NASA fakery. Nukes should be there as well, because the atomic that you see in the green section is actually atomic theory. So the way I
atomic
see it is,
theory. I don't know enough about it. I have my suspicions that I'm not a not. You're talking about nuclear power and how it generates power.
Well, let me tell you the path that I took. I learned about the nuke hoax before I learned about the atomic theory hoax, right? So I learned about atomic theory in senior high school in chemistry and physics, and I believe that. I believe that we're made of these tiny little things that you can't even see, and that we're mostly empty space and all this other ridiculous nonsense. Then I found out about the nuke hoax, which led me to go and look back into things like the Bohr model of the atom. And I realized that I'd been believing utter nonsense about atoms as well. So for me, it was learn about the nukes being fake, then learn about atomic theory being a joke. That's the path that I took. But the two are obviously related, as you can see.
Yeah. Yeah, like, again, I can see where you're going with that. And you're much better read. Evolution, for sure. I've got issues with that. I'm, what's his name? Oh, who's big into that? Dave, who wrote The God Illusion again? Sorry, John, help me out. Richard Dawkins, yeah. You know, I have major problems with that guy. He's arrogant. He's probably a eugenicist. There's nothing about... I've read The God Delusion. I've read quite a few of his stuff, and stuff that Chris Hitchens has written about it too. I mean, they're full-on into evolution, Charles Darwin. Look, I'm not on either side. I'm not even on the evolution side. I'm not on the creationism side, which is what a lot of people revert to. So I'm not a theist. I'm not a atheist. I'm a non-theist when it comes to the evolution thing. I don't see how we can crawl out of pond scum and become human beings. I don't care how many million years. But you must be better read than that. Dinosaurs, you're about to release your own film that you've put a lot of work into on the dinosaur hoax. So
yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That'll be good. No, I can't wait. Yeah. So what we're going to do is, before we... Unless Kayhan wants to join, we can extend the show 15 minutes or so. But assuming it's just you and me, I want you to tell me, on this hoax hierarchy, if this was your hierarchy, and I encourage people to put their own together, which Gaia did, and maybe we can even discuss that in a moment, but just looking at this one here, if you were doing your own hierarchy, Rollo, you've been in fakeology now for years and years.
Yeah.
What would be towards the top of your own hoax hierarchy?
I'd have to agree with Gaia. I'd have to agree with Gaia, and that is doublespeak, Orwellian doublespeak, which is where the world is going. Doublespeak. Yeah. What's it called? Think the right way. You've got to think the right way, and it's... I see it coming in, but especially when YouTube channels are being shut down for not thinking the right way, it'll gradually try and get us into just thinking the right way. And until we resist and continue resisting, I don't know what's on your daddy level, and I'm sure you're not going to tell us now, because I've asked you before and you won't tell us.
No, I'm not.
Can you post me Gaia's pyramid?
Well, what I'm going to do is I want to see if I can share it, because I've got it on my desktop, because I've been meaning to make a video about it for a while. So I would love to screen share it with the audience, and I'll see if I can put it in the Fakeologist server now. I'm not sure.
Yeah, just in the live stream where you put yours. Yeah.
Let me see if I can. So here we go. All right, I think I'm going to be able to get this. Hold on. Let me see if I can add this here. Upload. Let's see. Sorry for the dead air, by the way, guys, listening on fakeologist.com and on John.
There's no dead air on fakeologist.com. It always gets cut out.
That is true. You're quite right. I've been worrying about it all this time. There was no need to. It's no, you're quite right. Now, let's see if I can copy image location, copy link. Now, if I've worked this one out properly, what I should be able to do is... open this in Firefox, and here we go. Beautiful. It's worked exactly as I hoped. OBS, let me tell you, what a fantastic piece of software. So on the screen, what we've got now is the Gaia version of the hoax hierarchy, and Gaia is a person. He's another fakeologist. He's one of the two people responsible for the Fakepedia, and he's had one or two less than complimentary things to say about me, but that's cool. I don't hold any grudges. This is all just... we're all just people sharing opinions. It's not really that big a deal. So as you can see here, he's got the six levels. His baby hoax is pretty similar to mine, all the terror hoaxes. His toddler hoaxes is a little bit different. He's got the accident and death hoaxes, like the 20... Oh, so Gaia thinks the 27 Club is a hoax, does he?
Yeah, the 27 Club. He's talking about Jim Morrison and Janis Joplin, is that? I'm pretty sure that's where he's going with that.
Really? Is that... I didn't even know about that one. So there's an idea that the 27 Club is a hoax.
Yeah, a lot of famous singers and died at the age of 27. Yeah.
I'm aware that they officially died. I just didn't realize that it was an idea I mean, it could be easily. They could easily. That'd be one of the easiest hoaxes.
I'm speaking on behalf of Gaia here. I haven't seen... This is the first time I've seen this, to tell you the truth. Challenger, definitely a hoax. I remember that, 1986, about January, wasn't it?
Yep, I would include that in
year 11. I was in year 11.
NASA hoax. That's amazing, yeah. NASA hoax, so I agree with that one. The Costa Concordia. So, the Costa Concordia. So this is one that they covered on Clues Forum. And the Costa Concordia was that ship that supposedly was shipwrecked. You know, like
that fell on its side. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, they had a huge thread about that on Clues Forum. I'm pretty sure because, like, wasn't that story kind of European? Like, the captain of the ship was... Italian, or I can't remember, but I just remember it having a special significance of Clues for him, the Costa Concordia.
Can't help you out with that one. Diana, I remember where I was the day that she supposedly died, and there's that just stinks to high heaven, that whole Diana thing, you know, why the Paris tunnel, none of the cameras worked, and the French driver and her and Dodi Al-Fayed both died, and yet apparently the guy on the front seat didn't suffer a scratch. Yeah, that stinks. Diana thing.
Yeah, the Diana. Have you ever looked into the esoteric elements surrounding Diana's death? Like the tunnel that she was in, the name of the tunnel. How close that tunnel. Did you know that in Paris, there is basically like a replica of the Statue of Liberty's torch, her torch flame?
I've never been to France, so I've...
Neither have I.
But it's as big as the one in New York, though?
No, it's not quite as big, but it's like I think the torch, like the hand holding the torch might be. And it's right near the tunnel where Princess Di supposedly, you know, died. And, there's a lot of interesting little coincidences
thing.
And all of that. Yeah, very interesting. I really have been meaning to make a video about that for a while because it's fascinating. Because, you know, there's an Illuminati card game card about Diana's death. And it said... This was made before she died, by the way. And it says that her weakness... Because it's a card game, right? Like, each card has a strength and a weakness kind of thing. Her weakness is media. Now, what are the odds of that, eh? What are the odds of that?
And so they definitely had a 9/11 card with the exploding buildings in that. So yeah.
You've inspired me. You've inspired me to go and find Illuminati card game analysis and just talk about that a little bit before we wrap up the show. What do you think about that?
Go for it.
Let's do that. But before we do, let's press on. So I can see what Guy is doing. He's got the what I would call the baby hoaxes down the bottom, but I guess some of the more significant baby hoaxes is put in the toddler level. That makes sense to me. Like your accident and death hoaxes, 27 Club, Costa Concordia, Diana. I can see they are more significant than the other baby hoaxes. That's fair enough. Let's move on to his kiddie hoax level. And he's got 9/11 no planes, which I guess we would agree with. He's also got AIDS. Yeah, he's got AIDS in there. What do you think about this?
Definitely a hoax. Definitely.
AIDS is definitely a hoax, you say.
Yeah, your listeners on your in your text chat can go to fakeologist.com. Abberado did a wonderful interview with David Crow, a Canadian. He's got a website called theinfectiousmyth.com, and there was an older one called howpositivearyou.com. David Crow is an expert on that, and AIDS just in say 1 minute or less. AIDS basically started with these things called poppers, amyl nitrite, drugs that the gays were using back in the early 80s, where you snort it up. Apparently, what it does is it makes anal sex a lot easier, but it also really does mess with your immune system, and these guys were doing these poppers all the time, and the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control in America, were looking for an infectious drug. They had their man, and his name was Rock Hudson, and they brought him out just like they would bring out whatever that fella who's in the wheelchair that goes, I don't know who that guy is. They brought him out and they said, we found the probable cause of AIDS, it's having unprotected anal sex. And we've got the drug for you to fix it. It's called AZT. And it was the drug AZT that was killing people because people have been having sex for years. And it's heterosexual and homosexuals, you know, they're all been having sex. But it was this thing that they had to have. The CDC was going to lose their funding. Anthony Fauci, Robert Gallo, all these people should be in jail, if you ask me.
Rollo, if what you're saying is true, then how did Freddie Mercury die?
Again, Freddie Mercury in 1988 was looking as healthy as when when he sang "I Want It All." And then soon after that, again, diagnosed this dodgy diagnosis, which Robert Gallo patented. That's why Robert Gallo, again, is a mass murderer to me. This was a period in my life, 88, 89, 90, when I was starting to have sex for the very first time, because I was 18, 19, 20. And that's when this whole thing kicked off. And boy, oh boy, did it put the kibosh on. People were just questioning each other, like, how many partners have you had? And it was just, everybody having to use frangers now. And it was just no good. But the thing is, once someone in a white coat says you have HIV or AIDS, I would have believed it back then, and I would have taken the drugs. And it's the drugs that kill you. Tommy Morrison took the drugs. And I'm sure that helped him. I mean, he was doing a lot of other drugs, but that when he was banned from boxing, like I said, your listeners should go and listen to Ab talk to David Crowe from The Infectious Myth if they want to know that. I can't give you the AIDS in too quick a time, but it is definitely a hoax in my...
Well, you are very passionate about that topic. Thank you for your thoughts on that. We need to get through the rest of the Gaia hoax hierarchy. So he's got AIDS, Apollo. So somehow he's got Apollo above the others, which is interesting, but that's fair enough. We've all got our different takes on this. Ebola, yes, that's a hoax. Education, I guess he means the way the education system works. Many of us believe that it's there to dumb people down, not to make them smarter. That makes sense. The medical hoaxes, that is a good one. I agree with that one. In fact, that's one of the daddy hoaxes in my hierarchy. So there you go. He's got that one. Nuclear bombs, science hoaxes, voting. Yeah, voting. People actually believe their vote makes a difference. Very amusing.
If voting was good for you, they'd make it illegal.
Well, what was that quote? What was the guy? This will come to me. Hold on. What was his name? Oh, look, forget about it. If it comes to me, we'll come back to it. And finally, war hoaxes, which is interesting because recently Gaia decided to waste a lot of people's time arguing with me about war being a hoax, and yet here it is in his own kiddie hoax level. So, very interesting.
Go easy on Gaia. He's a nice guy.
He's not here to defend himself, so I am going easy.
Right. If he did join
the live stream, he'd be more than welcome to partake in his stream right now.
Absolutely.
So it's a shame that he missed out. But we can do this against another time. Now, moving on.
Gaia's actually, let me say this. Gaia has eased off on the fakeology thing for a while. But if you want to go explain the big long chat we had, the mega chat, 3 or 4 weeks back, we went through the war hoax at length, didn't we? When we had, what was his name? Lovely guy, the guy from New Zealand, I forgot his name. But we had just a lot of people. Yeah, just saying, dude. Gaia, and even Dave J, and I was interested in the whole idea of war being a hoax, and you went through it at length. So, your listeners, or your people listening on your text chat, go back and listen to that. And you should post it. Have you posted it over there at johnlebon.com?
I have. I've let people know. My plan was originally to re-release it as a chat. Because sometimes I re-release Fakeologist audio chats with my own intro and outro, like a reflection on what happened. So that was my plan.
Yeah, you did that with Velocet. Yeah, you did it with Velocet. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and also with a chat with Yossarian. And then there was and the one with Velocet, Kayhan was a part of that as well. And then there was also another one, and the names don't come to me immediately. But that was my plan to do that with this one. It's a lot of time, and I just haven't gotten around to it. I'm too busy doing these kind of live streams, I guess, procrastinating. But in any event, what I've done is I've brought this up on the screen for people watching on YouTube. You can see here, this is the Fakeologist website, and this is the call that we had with a whole bunch of people. Faye was there, Gaia, as you said. John Adams made an appearance. John Adams, who, of course, does often chat with Jay Dyer. Let's see.
Dave, that was interesting. When you made a little video about Jay Dyer, because what did you have the temerity to bring up now the new Cokes when he was talking about end times? And that was totally relevant. And no, you were banned.
In Jay Dyer's defense, I did post pretty much, like, not the same comment, but the same idea, like, I don't know, 6 or 7 times, you know what I mean? So you could make the case that that is trolling or spamming.
You were spamming.
Could make that argument. And then, moreover, it's his stream. He can ban whoever he wants, you know what I mean? It's
good point.
I was kind of being a little bit cheeky, to be honest, with my video. But
you are John LeBron, you are cheeky. You call me Crazy Rollo. How cheeky is that?
Yeah, it's a little bit cheeky, isn't it? But you know, I've actually got a copy of Jay Dyer's Esoteric Hollywood right in front of me. You know what I mean? So I've got a copy of his book.
Did he sign it for you?
No, I didn't get the signed copy. If you buy direct from his website, you get a signed copy. I got my copy from, I think, Amazon or something.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. But I'm planning, because, you know, there's a few films that I like to analyze as well, right? So, for instance, on my website right now, there's an analysis, an esoteric analysis of The Truman Show. And I show how certain esoteric connections between The Truman Show and the Las Vegas shooting. And many people will say, what? How could there be a connection between the two things? Well, I think I do a pretty good job of demonstrating that with an analysis on my website. So I plan to do more of these esoteric analyses.
I think they proved to be quite popular, the movie analysis.
People love it. You can relate to a movie because you and I can have the copy of a movie. We'll have different interpretations of the movie, but we've got a common thing there to discuss. Whereas if we're talking about, say, nuclear bombs or whatever, neither of us has seen a nuclear bomb. Do you know what I mean? So by talking about movies, you give people a common framework to discuss. So that is my plan, to release more of these esoteric analyses.
Well, why not? I know it's been done before by, it's called, the one with Stanley Kubrick and The Shining. If you did wanted to do your own research, I know it's already been done with the I've forgotten the guy's name. Anyone help me out in the chat?
Jay Widener,
thank you. Whoever helped me out in the chat, Jay Widener. He did a wonderful exposé on
Kubrick. It's funny you mentioned Kubrick. Let me tell you why. Just hit me out.
Go for it.
Because Kubrick directed 2001: A Space Odyssey. And that was, of course, released in 1968, 33 years before the September 11 events. And the number of so-called coincidences between that film and what we call 9/11, it's truly phenomenal, including the fact that there is a black monolith in front of the Twin Towers when they come down, the Hilton Hotel, right? There is a big black monolith at the site of the World Trade Center in real life, a big black monolith. Rollo, on earth are the odds of this?
I've heard Russian Vids. Russian Vids goes through that at length about the whole that sort of meaning. So I don't doubt it. And he says that the towers were built to come down, and I don't doubt that either. So the
Many people believe that. Is that something that you would subscribe to as well?
Why not? I mean, the craziness that I've seen now. I mean, why not? I mean, why not build these things to come down? It's like the things that they're getting away with, the Apollo and whatever. I mean, why not build two great big buildings in New York? And, like, why not? It's just the people at the top. I mean, they've got too much money and too much time on their hands. And they like, what do you call it, shifting the masses. And, I think these Rockefellers, your Rothschilds, they've got just too much money. They create the money, obviously, but they're too much time on their hands, and they don't have the empathy for their fellow human being. And again, I'm disappointed by the whole thing. But unless me and you keep talking about it, and if you YouTube want to block this or whatever, at least you're saving your videos separately. Ab started doing it now, and a lot of other people maybe moving to BitChute or other places where you can speak freely. I don't care what you say, as long as you have the freedom to say it. And the way that YouTube has acted in the last 2 weeks with this purge is disgusted me. I am absolutely disgusted.
Well, don't be disgusted. These things happen. And is the purge as serious as some people want you to believe? I'm not quite so sure because, I'm still standing.
Hey. Well, I know, but I'm just saying, if you try and find the word Parkland hoax, all of them, there were tons of them, and they Kayham. Hello, Kay. Yes.
Hello, Rollo. Hello, Jerry.
Hello.
Hello, Kayham. What I've done is I've let you guys put your volume up. I've put your user volume up to 200%, so hopefully this is coming through loud and clear for the listeners. Let us know in the live chat
if it's not. But Kayham, you've come at just the right time. We're discussing fakeologists, and the title of this live stream is Who Are the Fakeologists? So why don't you introduce yourself to the YouTube audience who might not be familiar with your work. Who is Kayham, and why does she consider herself to be a fakeologist?
Right. I guess I'm trying to change my terminology. Fakeologist was okay until Trump started using the word fake news. Now I want to call myself, what was the word? Culture creationist investigator. That's what I'm trying to change to, because really, isn't fake news all about changing culture in America? Isn't it really about how culture is created top down, not bottom up? Isn't that really what we're investigating anyway? How culture is foisted upon us and we're not actually in charge of it? That's what I'm trying to. So I started out a fakeologist, and now I'm moving more toward a culture creationist investigator. That makes sense.
It does. And this is something that John Adams and Jay Dyer, this is how they would term it as well. They talk about culture creation. This would be their emphasis as well, wouldn't it?
Yes. And I think that's what fakeologist is creating, right? Because fake news means we didn't create it. It's not created by the people or by the news, but it's created, and it creates its result is that it creates a false belief, which a fake culture is then built around. I don't know if that makes sense.
It certainly does make sense. Well, you've joined us just as we're going through the Gaia hoax hierarchy, and I would love to get your take on the concept of the hoax hierarchy, and if it's something that you think is useful, what would be towards the top of a hoax hierarchy that you might put together? What, now that you've been here for a few years, what do you think are some of the more important hoaxes that you've discovered in the years that you've been doing this?
Well, if I could go back for just a minute, you guys were just talking about the YouTube purge.
Oh, yep.
Right. I recently had a video taken down from YouTube, banned. So I had one strike now against my YouTube channel, and it was a Sandy Hoax YouTube video. It was called CGI Blurry Face, and all it was doing was analyzing Robbie Parker. Remember that interview he was laughing in, and then he got serious to talk about how sad he was?
The interview with Robbie Park that I remember was the one where he's walking out from the school or from some building and he's laughing, and then as he gets on camera, suddenly he becomes sad. That's the Robbie Parker one that I'm familiar with.
Yes, that's the exact video. So me and Vidir and Del Qua, we analyzed that one, and we slowed it down super, super slow, like one frame at a time. And what you saw was some faces looked completely like balloons as they turned around, like super bad wannabe 3D CGI. So the video was just, we were asking, is this CGI? I didn't even talk about kids being killed. I just talked about Robbie Parker and a couple of the other people's faces, and YouTube took that down and gave me a strike for community, whatchamacallit.
Oh, community guidelines.
Guidelines, strike. Yeah, for bullying. Right. For bullying, yeah.
Right. Who'd I bully? I mean, I don't even think, I just asked, is this CGI? I was just questioning. So
They don't want those questions asked, Kayham.
I didn't even talk about dead kids or anything, and but I have, like, two more Sandy Hook videos that are still there. I'm not taking them down, so I'll probably lose my channel soon. I'll just wait and see what YouTube does. But it's interesting because, my YouTube channel is super weird. I have a bunch of weird stuff on it. Not very many videos. Like, the one video is 2 years old. It only had 24 views. That's the one I got a strike against.
Oh, good Lord. Not your Paul McCartney one where he caught the mic.
Right. Well.
Oh, not Paul McCartney. The blind guy. What was his? What his name?
But Paul McCartney was in the video.
He was in the video. But who was the fellow that caught the mic? He's supposed to be blind?
Yeah, the African American fellow.
Fucking hell.
No, my own videos hardly. Narrow the channel. the singer.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, Kay, I haven't spoken to you in ages. And there is a crossover here, because you're a great contributor over at Hoaxbusters Call, and you have the Clues Chronicle over at Clues Forum, so with Hoi Polloi. So, yeah, there's a crossover here.
So, John, have you gotten any of your videos striked yet?
No, I haven't. And so for a long time, I thought this suggestion that I was a paid shill was ridiculous. But now I'm starting to wonder why, if they're striking your channel and Ab's channel, which, without trying to sound like I'm not, how do I put this? Your channels are smaller than my channels, you know what I mean? So if they're coming after your channels and leaving me alone, and I've got videos talking about all kinds of hoaxes, you know what I mean? Hoaxes up the yin-yang at John Le Bon. So why have
you... You had one that went viral. Yeah,
I've got a video talking about Ariana Grande hoax, which has like 600,000 views. So why have they left my channel alone is what I want to know.
Well, have you got like, what I noticed is I didn't get any new subscribers for years, but then recently, in the past week, I have like 10 new subscribers, and their channels only have like a few people each. You know, they're... My subscribers only have a few subscribers themselves, which is weird. So it kind of felt like my new subscribers were watchers, not actual real people, because I hadn't really posted anything new, and all of a sudden I'm getting new subscribers. So I know it's weird. Rolo, did you get any strikes?
No. Look, I haven't used YouTube in years, but you must be filthy on Simon Shack after all these years losing his YouTube on Guideline Strike. After all these years, he's gone. He lost all his music, all his September Clues, and all the little bits that he did afterwards, all gone with a press of a button. Simon Shack. He had 900, almost a million views on September Clues. Gone. Disgrace.
Stevie Wonder,
that's the guy. Yeah, thanks for that.
Sorry.
I was having an old person's moment, as we do at our age. It'd be nice to be young like John Le Bon again.
Right.
Yeah.
But well, I'm 30 years old now, guys, so I'm not quite as young and vivacious as I was back in the day. You know, when I first got into all of this, I was so full of energy and full of naive optimism and hope, and it was a good time.
Don't lose it, John. Don't lose it. There's always hope. And look, we're closer to 50 than you are. Are you 30 now? You're actually 30 now.
Yeah, I turned 30 last year. So I'm already more than halfway from 30 to 31. And I'm like, what the hell? My birthday was yesterday. You know what I mean? This is exactly what people warned me about. They said, as you get older, time will just start slipping by. And I was like, yeah, whatever, Grandpa, but I'm here now. It's like, holy crap, man. 6 months just went in the space of no time at all.
It'll do that to you. And here comes Ab.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
Thank you, Ab. Thank you.
We should repeat that once again. We're coming here live via the YouTube channel, John Le Bon, and also the website, Fakeologist.com, which is, of course, the main topic of conversation tonight. And it's good to see, if you check out the sidebar of Ab's website, he's now had literally dozens and dozens of people who have chipped in, whether it's $5, $20, maybe $50 or $100 here or there, people who are saying, listen, I value what you're doing. Let me send some money your way to say thanks. I, for one, Rollo, I think that is fantastic. Great to see.
Me too. And like people like Simon Shack and Fast Value and Not So Freemason. Yeah, I don't want to. Unless I go through the whole list, I'm going to miss people. But yeah, they've done a great job, and people that have supported your site too. If you want to name a few of your big contributors, it's up to you.
We know what I'm going to do right now. You say that you don't want to name them, but it's actually a customary thing that I do at the end of all of my videos and podcasts, is I read out the supporters list of my website. And Ab's never done that. And since this video is really meant to be more about Fakeologists than John Le Bon, I want to go through this right now. He's got contributions from Curious, Bridget Close, Patrick,
Bruce S, Conkers, Abiz, Unreal, Bing, Without a Trace, Richard D, Nick R, Nick K, Michael D, Adam W, Jack S, FPO, NR, Philip G, Delcroix, your friend Delcroix there in Ireland.
Yep.
Ian W, Harry L, who is also a supporter of my website. Rebooting Christianity, Todd P is in there, another supporter of mine. I won't mention all the people who are supporters on my website because there's a bit of an overlap here, I'm just starting to realise. Ryan V, William C, Abiz, Mark T, Missam, Anthony R, James S, Nuts and Volts, Adam W. And then we start doubling up. We've got Curious again, Missam, Tryptamine, Ricky, Bing, Phil Blanks, an old friend of mine, Phil Blanks. Love talking to that guy. And Nuts and Volts. And now I see that they've also got Simon Shack on the supporters list. So as you can see there, that's literally dozens of people who are saying, you know what? Rather than complain that there's no good media, why don't we support the people who are trying to do it? I think it's sensational.
Absolutely.
And Missam is Faye, actually.
Yeah, Faye. Faye is Missam. Yeah, she changed her name, yeah.
And the great thing about Faye is that, Missam or Faye, is that she's not just contributing financially to what Ab's doing. She's helping him make content. And they had that terrific... Have you guys listened to that yet? The chat between Ab and Missam, 55 minutes?
Oh, that was fantastic. Yes, I thought that was brilliant. And A.A. Morris, too, is another guy that started doing his own audios as well. So good luck to A.A. Morris. But, yeah, I do like the back and forward that Ab did with Faye. It was totally professional, lots of little audio snippets in there. And, yeah, I hope they continue that. Yeah,
me too. Honestly, that was terrific. Yeah, it's a great format.
It was refreshing, and I honestly, I don't miss the kids screaming in the background. That was Gaia.
That wasn't Faye. Yeah.
Gaia.
Yeah.
So yeah, what they're doing is they're setting aside 55 minutes. This is Ab, who hosts Fakeologist, and Faye, who's also known as Missam, and they spend 55 minutes. They just have a range of topics that they've both got in front of them, and then they each pick a topic. They speak about it for a few minutes, move on to the next topic, and they're all topics that are related to Fakeology and these kinds of things. Perfect format. If for a first episode, it flowed sensationally. I was listening to it thinking, oh, yeah, this is the feeling that you get when you listen to something that is worth listening to, which is very rare for me these days in this scene. Most of the stuff I listen to these days is crap, but that Fakeologist 55, I'll be promoting that on my site, and I thought it was fantastic.
And make sure you promote – oh, sorry, Kahan, to cut you off. And you promote the live stream that you're going to be on tomorrow, Google Hangout. Who are they again?
Oh, well, that's... Look, I wouldn't get my hopes up about that one. That's... listen, the YouTube truth scene is mostly comprised of conspirators, okay? These are negative people who truly believe the government's out to get them. They truly believe that anyone who questions that is a paid shill. They truly believe in all of this satanic child ritual abuse nonsense. They really believe that talking about that is somehow going to fix it or make things better. These people are generally very negative people. And I have a bad feeling that some of the audience tomorrow are going to be those kinds of people. So that part I'm not looking forward to. However, the guy who's hosting it, Rufus, he does seem genuinely open-minded, and he seems to believe that dinosaurs are real. And that's what we're going to be talking about tomorrow, dinosaurs and nukes, and that'll be on the Rufus Cat 2 channel or some other subsidiary channel, some other channel that he's related to. Tomorrow, so I'll post a link to that.
And I'll post it here, and it goes to air apparently 2 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. Is that right, John?
Is it 2 p.m. our time? I think it might be. He's on the. I can't remember what time zone he's in. I'll have to work it out. But
I think Dale and I worked it out that it's. Yeah, I think it's going to be around then. But when I get the absolute, I'll post the link. Here in at Fakeologist, and maybe Kahan can post it over there at the Clues Forum when it goes
to
air.
That's terrific.
And the more the merrier, because, yes, I listened to their episode 79, and it went for 3 hours. I just wanted to know who you were actually talking to.
Well, the host's name is called Rufus Cat 2, and he seems to be... In fact, I was watching a live stream yesterday with a whole bunch of guys who you might even remember, right? From the good old Truth Movement days, the Truth Community days, Jeff C style, some of them were accusing this Rufus guy of trying to be the next Jeff C, you know, like trying to be the the guy who, because Jeff C was always intelligent, whether people liked him or not, he was intelligent, and they're trying to accuse this guy of being the next like intelligent, baby hoax truther or whatever. So, but I don't really know the guy that well. My only
interaction with him was live on the air a couple of weeks ago, where, long story short, I came on to the panel. It was just a Google Hangout, and he seems to believe that I was using nukes and dinos as a way to troll people, that I didn't really believe they're fake. And he became, I think he realized within 5 or 10 minutes, I'm being quite serious here, guys. I'm not joking around. You read the scientific papers, especially for dinosaurs, and if you have eyes to see, you'll realize this is a joke. So who knows, man? I don't know what to expect tomorrow. We'll see how it goes. But I'll post a promotion for that on my channel tomorrow, assuming I still have one, because they could delete me, you know, between now and then, which, you know, these things happen. If I do disappear, though, let me tell you this, I'll just have to do my live streams through fakeologist.com. What do you reckon?
Absolutely, and unless the powers that should not be get rid of WordPress, which is, or Discord, there's no way that you're going to lose this ability, and you've got moderator status. You can come into the live stream at any time. Invite in and invite whoever you want in. So if you get onto Stefan Molyneux or maybe Dave Cullen from Ireland, I'd love to hear those chats. Get them in.
Well,
the
I don't
live
think
stream.
I'll ever be talking with Stefan Molyneux or any people at their level. I don't think that's how this game works, but you never know. You never know. Now, what we need to do, guys, is it has been a couple of hours. It is time to wrap this show up. So what I want to do, I always do this, is I give my co-panelists a chance to get their final thoughts in. So first we'll go to Kayham over there on the west coast of the US, if memory serves me correctly. I'll be wrapping up my live stream, but of course you guys can stay on the Discord. But for the live stream on YouTube, and it's entitled Who Are the Fakeologists, we're going to wrap it up in a few minutes, Kayham. So any final thoughts you want to leave the audience out there with today?
The dinosaur hoax, yeah, I'm in agreement with you there. What a big hoax. That would be one of my top ones. Because it's just built on eggshells. Speaking of eggs, I mean, it's ridiculous. They come across some, you know, petrified eggs, and all of a sudden they go, dinosaurs. It's like, what? Over millions of years, you find eggs, and they just assume it's dinosaurs. Of all the creatures that could have roamed the area over millennia, right? How they just, of all the creatures, they just automatically go dinosaurs. It couldn't be turtles. Couldn't be anybody else. So it's like funny that they just go dinosaurs.
The dino hoax. Well, that was something you've got a thread on Clues Forum. It might not be your thread, but you contributed to it a lot, talking about the dinosaur fakery. And when I first got into that topic back in 2015, I found that thread very useful at Clues Forum. And to this day, it still amazes me how many people who are aware of media fakery don't spend just a little bit of time at Clues Forum. There's that many topics there. You don't have to necessarily agree with everyone there, or you don't have to agree with Simon Shack, whatever, but there's just that many topics there, just as a way to get your mind thinking about some of these topics. It's like Clues Forum still doesn't get much attention among so-called truth channels. And to this day, I still can't give you a convincing explanation as to why. You know what I mean? Like, I'm someone who has had, some not so pleasant interactions with certain people from Clues Forum, but I'm still here to say it's worth your time to check it out. So where are all the people who claim to be interested in this stuff? You know, and they're promoting, they've got YouTube channels and they're talking about all this truth stuff. How come so few of them ever mention Clues Forum? I don't really have an explanation for that. You know what I mean? It's very strange to me. Very strange. So for those of you who are listening who aren't already aware, go and check out Clues Forum, see what they have to say. You don't have to agree with all of it, but just have a look. What's the worst that can happen? So your thread about dinosaurs, KM, I found that very useful back in the day. And since then, I've gone on, done my own work, and I now consider myself the world's leading dino skeptic. More on that next time, but we do need to move on. So Rollo, final thoughts for Who Are the Fakeologists here on fakeologist.com and John LeBon YouTube. Final thoughts for this chat today.
All right. Well, thank you for everyone that's listening. I don't know how many we got listening at the moment, Johnny?
About 30. We got up to just over 30. 40 at one point.
Yep, that's fine. Well, thank you to everyone that's been listening. And, well, thank you to you, John. I mean, me and you haven't seen eye to eye, but you're better read than I am. But to be a fakeologist is to question media fakery one psyop at a time. That is our raison d'etre. Well, that's Ab's raison d'etre, and I've since taken it on board. All stem from Simon Shack and that those 2 4-hour interviews that you can go back and listen to. To be a fakeologist is, to me, is just to question the media and being able to have freedom of speech. And Ab is now downloading videos and putting them up separately because YouTube just can't be trusted anymore. YouTube, it's just there. If you want lists, like Watch Mojo lists, top 10 lists, or you want to watch cute cat videos or shit like that, or gaming videos or PewDiePie or crap like that, go and watch it. Go and enjoy it. But if you want real freedom of speech and real freedom of expression, this is the platform that will, or maybe this BitChute might take on, because that's sort of incorporating a peer-to-peer type system where everybody shares a little bit of their hard drive space, where it's not all centralized, as YouTube has decided to do and make money off with advertising. Disgraceful, but we're just trying our best to exposing psyops, media psyops. And you can call me Crazy Rollo if you want. I must be crazy to be in this game, but we've stuck it out. I've enjoyed you from the get-go. When you were with the Sunday show with Ethan.
The Aussie Roundtable, mate. Actually, it's funny you should bring that up. Let me give you some good news.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Silver Fox and I, we've been in contact ever since, and he's been in a few videos on my website. It's been great. But Ethan sort of went off and did his own thing for a little while, so we hadn't heard much from him. But just in the last couple of months, he's back on the scene. He's back interested in content production. And I've got a funny little feeling, Roller, that maybe the next phase, the next chapter might not be far away. So very exciting times indeed.
Well, again, thank you for having me today, John. And look, we've had our fights on air and off air quite a few times. And look, I never hold anything personal against anyone. So, yeah, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. And it's always robust. And it's never easy, because you have to be on your game when you're talking with John LeBon. But, yeah, keep doing what you do, mate.
Well, just give me 1 minute. I'll wrap this one up and then I'll stop the stream. But I'll still be there in the Fakeologist Discord server to have a debrief session if you're up for that. But just quickly, in the live chat, Alistair Kane, huge thanks to Alistair Kane for moderating the live chat. These kinds of shows can attract one or two trolls, but actually they're just wasting their time because they get swatted very quickly. So big thanks to Alistair Kane for the moderating today. Big thanks to all the people in the live chat who are posting sensibly. It always adds in a dimension to these shows. And obviously got to thank Ab for Fakeologist.com for facilitating the live stream in the Discord server, which is what we're broadcasting through today. Remember, if you haven't already done so, go and check out Fakeologist.com. There's a Discord server where you can have these kinds of conversations at any time of the day. There might be someone there, there might not be. Just check to see. And you can talk about media fakery to your heart's content. You can chat live on the air. You can chat off the air. It's all sorted out very, very easily. Couldn't be easy to use. So if you want to talk about these kinds of things, fakeologist.com is the place to do it. And as for me, go to johnlebon.com. There's a ton of content there, much of it available for free, much of it not available for free, because in life, hey, sometimes you get what you pay for. And sometimes the best material is only for those who are willing to value it. And that's what's going on at johnlebon.com, and I make no apologies for that. And neither do the some 50 people who are there with me every week for our member Skype calls. But I have to wrap it up right now. So on the 9th of March 2018, big thanks to Kayham. Big thanks to Crazy Rollo, as he likes to be called. Thanks to Ab and all the people at fakeologist.com. And thanks to you for listening. We'll see you next time. But that'll do us for today. So until next time, you guys, take care of yourselves. All right, I think that's it. I think we're done. Well, how about that?
Hi, my name is Jan Erik, and I recommend the Fakeologist because that's the place to get real truth and not BS.